What's up, everybody, and welcome to a very, very special edition of the Swolecast. Listen, we've got the season starting in 8 days now, and today there's still best ball, there's still season-long drafts going on. Next week we'll be all up in the DFS drafts, but today we're going to be giving out gems. And I want to start today with someone who not just gave out a gem, but gave out a diamond recently, and congratulate Mr. Davis Maddock.
Tuttle didn't get the slow clap memo.
For popping the question. Davis, how's it feel to be engaged, bro?
You know, it feels pretty good. It's been a long time coming as my fiance, and you know, she certainly did not she reminded me that it's been a long time coming, but we did the thing, got the rock, got the ring, did the proposal, got it all done. So that all happened, man.
It's nice to know that someone in the relationship has diamond hands now.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Hey, Davis already getting ready to sell his goon. He got worried about a, you know, 0.1 pullback there.
It wasn't 0.1. It wasn't 0.1. It was more than that.
It was more than 0.1, and even 0.1 is not money to sneeze at as the price of Ethereum continues to gas.
Yeah, we are skyrocketing right now. For those that missed it, Davis's profile picture, his PFP, as we call it in the industry, is now a goon of Balatroon. We talked about this on last week's show. They weren't even done minting. They were at 0.06. Bales tweets out I can't stop buying goons.
Look, I fell victim to a Jonathan Bales pump and dump. It happens to the best of us. It's all
he
good.
hasn't dumped.
No, and I'm not dumping either. I'm diamond handing my goon. I will literally hold it to zero, and it will be my profile picture. Well, I'm not going to commit to that because I might decide to change it, but I'm not going to sell it.
I mean, of all the things that have happened around the goons, you know, Davis going in, you know, Bales and CSU buying all these, the most shocking thing to me is honestly the Leone profile picture change.
Hilarious. Like,
that one feels just so out of left field for me.
Yeah. I mean, I sleuthed Bales' wallet. I talked about it with Logan. We talked about it in last week's show, and I didn't, like, gas was just so high at the moment where I wasn't going to pay basically the equivalent of minting for the profile picture. The next morning, they're sold out. I think the most surprising thing is that I have not bought one.
I am shocked that all of your DFS buddies bought one and you didn't want to FOMO in just a little bit.
I told Logan I was about to. And then I promise you, you tweeted out your bear pick. And I was like, I can't. I need to be on the opposite side of this. Like, you tweeting out this Sherlock Holmes bear pick is the best thing ever.
It's so good, dude. I am such a Sherlock Holmes bull that, like, having the deer stalker hat just really sold me.
Yeah. Well, when you tweeted that out, it was at 0.7, 0.8. And now it's, I think, if people want to get in for a little less, they can get in at 0.35 or something.
There's one floor goon right now for 0.33, but that'll be gone by the time I refresh, probably.
Yeah. I saw a tweet yesterday, and it kind of talked about what we mentioned last week, is that my portfolio was up 100x, and my mental wellness is just in the tank. So that is exactly how we feel as everything just continues to go crazy.
Well, you've diamond handed all your ETH, though. Like, at least we know. Well, if there's one thing we know you've diamond handed all the ETH.
One ETH is worth one ETH, Davis.
This was the first time I have ever spent crypto on anything in the history of my life. It was the first time I ever acquired. I had crypto in my wallet, and I chose to trade it for something else. First time in my life.
It won't be the last.
I do not know about that, considering how this experience has gone for me.
You got to buy those Super Yetis. Kitchen's been pumping.
Kitchen hasn't been pumping them, but they are. I mean, the one thing I am pumping is Boss Logic's project. I haven't really been pumping it. I feel like I've matured since July of 2021.
Where is this platform where you're pumping it, this stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I feel like I've replied to people that have messaged me privately. You know, what are you getting? I found a tweet and it made me cry. In May, I told people what all they should get. And it was a fractional share of a punk, Bored Ape, a Darius Garland rookie, a Zed Horse, Super Yeti, and something else. I forget. Oh, NFT.
I gotta give a shout out to Pete's Discord though. The club NFT guys in there have, like, basically I bought this goon and they were like, it's okay, take an L, it's fine. A couple guys aped me into the PERS, the Pernelope's Country Club.
Yeah, shout out Carlini.
Yeah, shout out Carlini.
What's that one?
Carlini.
Davis just learned who Carlini was, Kitchen, about an hour ago.
I learned who Carlini is, and Carlini's going to come on the Take Cast. We're going to do a Take Cast with Carlini, but shout out to the Club NFT Discord. Shout out to everyone in there. You've all been very helpful, and I appreciate every last one.
Davis, Pernelope Country Club.
Yeah, Pernelope Country Club. But Davis benefits because Jack goes in there and plays the villain in that channel. And Davis came in there with open arms, congratulating people, telling them that he hopes they make a lot of money. And all of a sudden, Davis starts getting gifts. So it was a very profitable strategy for Davis to be a friend of the channel there.
Davis, I'll send you something. Send me your wallet address and I'll send you something.
I would love to take on some of your Super Yeti bags.
If you think I'm giving you a Super Yeti, maybe as a wedding present.
So, like, you know, 900% of like motivational shit on the internet is terrible and bad. But I have been really trying to take to heart the idea that it costs nothing to gas your friends up. That it's just like being kind to people, especially on the internet, costs you absolutely nothing. And so, like, it's something as simple as like promoting Ship Chasing or one of Karain's articles or something on a show, or just being kind to someone and being like, yeah, dude, I hope you take big wins. I've been trying to do that more and engage with trolls on Twitter less.
So are you ready? Like, does this include like maybe apologizing to people that you've been mean to?
No, it doesn't. I think that's a step too far.
Who is it, your clutch fantasy, Jacob Brickroad? Like, do you want to say anything to him after coming into this newfound?
I mean, I guess I would just say it's amazing you've lasted as a fantasy player this long with takes this bad.
I love how Davis goes from one of the most like heartfelt things.
There
about,
we go.
You know, why
there's
you
just
a
some
guy?
there's some barriers I can't cross. Like, I can't give up. I can't give up all my old grudges. You know. You guys know how it is.
We know how it is. I was in Dallas over the weekend, Fort Worth, and having our home league draft. A bunch of guys flew out there, and I got to see LaVisca Chenault in person.
What?
I went to the game, saw LaVisca Chenault in person. I got to experience the Cowboys Stadium. Was pretty awesome, and super bullish about Trevor Lawrence after that game. I think he's going to be good.
Hot take. So hot take.
What about getting to watch Visca in the flesh, just absolutely beasting?
Yeah, was watching right there when he had that touchdown in the corner. It's like, I want to get your thoughts on LaVisca, because, you know, we were a little bit concerned that he might just – Davis, I think last week, assumed it might not be a good thing because he would go into the trickster role and not have a guaranteed spot. So want to know your thoughts now, Davis, with everything happening last week, with the cuts, injury news.
I mean, it sucks that Colin Johnson got cut and he's now mired in the Giants situation. But I mean, Visca is my highest owned player in all of best ball. And I feel very good about the decisions that led me up into that point. I don't think you could possibly have any worries. The only Jaguars position I would be worried about is if you've been taking massive James Robinson positions after the Travis Etienne injury, because I'm just letting you know, Carlos Hyde's taking that first carry against the Texans. Like, just prepare your body for that.
Imagine feeling confident about Urban Meyer making any logical decisions regarding any player on his team.
Dude, I keep waiting for him to just do something to be like, oh, maybe that was, you know, an aberration or whatever. And he just continues to make the most donkey.
He doubles possible. Down.
They kept Tavon Austin.
And this Agnew guy?
Yeah.
I mean, what are
Agnew at least
here?
Is like a special teamer at this stage in his career. I don't even know if Austin will return kicks for him or punts.
Did Dare or Ezigbo did they both make the cut?
Ezigbo did not. Dare did.
Yeah. Dare, they're only carrying three running backs.
But I mean, he's captain of special teams, Dare is, so you knew he was going to make the team.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some wins that we had after cut season. Davis, any wins that you had?
Damian Williams feels like a pretty big win right now. Cohen officially on the PUP. They cut Ryan Nall. They cut Artavis Pierce, and they go with Khalil Herbert as the third running back. And I would assume that the reason why they would have kept Nall or Pierce was they've been on the team. Nall was a good pass blocker, and Herbert would be more like if something happens to Montgomery, Herbert might have some juice or whatever. So I think they feel pretty good about Damian Williams in that passing down role. And I obviously have a lot of Damian Williams.
Yeah. You saw my tweet then.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I saw your tweet.
There you go. All right. So we're taking other people. I guess if it's a collective show win, we can mention that too. Peter, what are some wins you've had after cut season?
Yeah, I'll say a couple losses to start. Definitely.
No. We'll say the losses.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wins would be, people tried to talk me into Tyron Johnson and I kept drafting Josh Palmer. So that's definitely a win, getting rid of him. And I don't think Guyton is going to do anything. So I think Palmer is going to be a very nice late round selection. And also I've been drafting a ton of Chuba Hubbard late and they cut Bonifon and the other guy, Rodney Smith. And so they're literally just rolling with McCaffrey, the rookie, Chuba, and then Trenton Cannon, who the beat reporters say is just going to be a special teams guy. So, I mean, I think we're looking at the exact same situation as last year, where if McCaffrey goes down, Chuba's going to be the Mike Davis who plays, you know, 90% of the snaps, and you're getting him in the last round where – if this is his role, he should be going where Alexander Mattison goes. And I prefer him to Alexander Mattison as an upside handcuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Agreed there. Like the teams that concentrated the targets and the teams that are only keeping like two or three running backs. Yeah. Kenneth Gainwell would be another guy that I guess would be a win because they cut the dusty corpse of Jordan Howard and another running back. So they're only keeping three running backs and Boston Scott is the backup, but Gainwell is in a pretty good spot. I guess I would say it's a bittersweet and we can transition this into our losses as well. Cause I had a fair amount of Irv, but I also had a fair amount of Adam Thielen. And I feel like Thielen and Jefferson shares are going to skyrocket on the teams that I did not on the teams that I did not have Irv Smith. How much Irv did you have, Davis?
I actually had recently started drafting him. He was not a big part of my strategy. I'm looking right now. Looks like I have 8% Irv Smith Jr. So like I'll live. But Evan Ingram, who I've drafted a ton of, is also injured as well. So those two things don't feel that good.
I think Ingram might be my most drafted tight end.
Yeah, feels so not great.
Ingram's my biggest loss for sure.
Yeah, Fant and Ingram. Those two guys. Like tight ends, someone tweeted out with all these news and listed out all the tight end news. Congratulations to those who drafted Kittle and Kelsey in the first and second rounds.
Kittle, Kelsey, Waller, they're just going to be huge league winners.
It drops off after what? Pitts and Andrews still fine.
Hawk. And then it's literally who knows.
Starts like dropping off.
It's I still like that Higbee.
I don't mind Higbee. Yeah, Higbee Thomas Everett. Tier.
Yeah,
it's okay. After that, it's Gerald like, Everett. Who are you drafting?
I've started to get a little spooked on Everett just from how much he was splitting time with Disley in the preseason. But Everett and Kmet are the only guys I can really stomach from like rounds 10 to 16.
And then it's like Hunter Henry, maybe like the Patriots guy's not terrible.
Firkser is like barely playing. Like he's like, yeah. He's not even going to be an issue. So
we've known this for a while, but the answer for the late round tight end, who's going to have a huge win rate, is going to be Zach Ertz. And we just all need to prepare ourselves for that.
Yeah.
Chris
Herndon now too, right?
Yeah. Did anyone even draft that? Chris Herndon? Like, I got a little bit
of Hern Dog.
Please yeah, don't call I can... Hern Dog.
Peter, what are you seeing in the streets?
What streets, Dave?
The best ball streets, the underdog streets.
Yeah, I mean the drafts are definitely much softer right now. There's a complete change in what it was a month ago, so it is nice to have that back and going decently. But yeah, I'm getting close to maxing. I got about 15 more BBM teams. I'm getting sad for a best ball season to be coming to an end here.
Are you getting crazy with the remaining 15 teams, or are you sticking with your thesis?
I'm not getting crazy. I'm sticking with my thesis. My thought was, I do have so many of these teams where I took Perriman, where I took Fulgham, where I took Colin Johnson. And I'm like, all right, now I want to just build within the same structures I've been doing, but with the information edge I didn't have before. So I'm not getting too crazy.
The Perriman's now a stack option with Justin Fields.
Yeah, those Perriman field stacks are going to
I missed that. Did he? That was that just like within the last hour?
I don't think earlier he's going to make the team.
You don't think he's going to make the team? They already signed him to a one-year deal.
All reports from Lions camp was that he basically put up the most unimpressive wide receiver offseason in the history of the Detroit Lions. Like Chris Burke, the Lions beat writer for The Athletic, said even though he was guaranteed $2 million, that it was impossible as an organization to reward the summer he had. Like that's how bad he was.
If you look at those Detroit wide receivers, the fact that he couldn't beat those guys out for just a roster spot.
It's so bad.
Quintus Cephas, don't besmirch him.
Probably the best take in the history of the show is that Quintus Cephas is going to be better than Jonathan Taylor.
He is. A lot of years to play out here, man.
What's worse is they're saying Quintus Cephas is behind Khalif Raymond, which means Breshad Perriman lost his job to Khalif Raymond. Yeah. I mean, that's what happened.
Which, if you listened to the show last year, you know.
I knew this was coming.
You know, Davis would make fun of me about my Khalif Raymond love. Would make fun of me about it.
Dude's going to be running sprints like he did last year with the Titans. Maybe catch one ball every three games.
He's going to be running wind sprints. Absolutely. All right. So what about injury news? Other injury news other than Irv Smith that might be causing you like.
Well, the J.K. Dobbins is a win-loss, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a win because I don't think any of us were drafting him early. It's a loss because I don't have many Gus Edwards shares and I'm not getting any now.
Well, you can still draft the actual running backs you want on that team very, very cheaply right now.
Oh, give me a Justice Hill. All the donkeys just shot.
No one's even talking about Justice Hill.
And it was so bad because it's a bad take. Well, he's not going to be anything.
They asked Jim Harbaugh about his running backs and he didn't even mention Justice Hill.
He said Tyson. Yeah.
It's a terrible, like Hill's going to be what he has been in the NFL.
The reason why he didn't mention him though, is that he hasn't been at practice for the last 2 weeks and he just returned today.
Well, his role is just not going to change either. Like it is what it is,
but
they're
just going to split
big back work between Tyson and Gus.
My thought would be is that, I mean, Gus is just being hilariously overdrafted now because he's like J.K. Dobbins was semi drawing live. Like he was being drafted so early because he was drawing live to be so good that they would start throwing him the ball a little bit. Gus Edwards is not going to do that there. I think he's got like 15 receptions through 3 years of his career. Tyson, by the way, weirdest college career ever. Played at North Carolina, transferred, played 2 years at South Carolina, transferred, played at BYU, then went to the NFL. But apparently he is the number two guy there. We have such a hard time imagining the next thing happening, right? Like Justice Hill and Tyson Williams going completely undrafted in best ball, didn't even have ADPs. J.K. Dobbins gets hurt. They start to be drafted later in the round. Obviously, were something to happen to Gus Edwards, they would both be walking into a huge opportunity in the best rushing offense in the NFL. I now slightly prefer Tyson, though I don't want to get take locked into either one of them, but they're both really good darts at the end.
I don't think Hill's a good dart. I really don't. I just don't see, I don't think his volume is just going to randomly jump up.
The thing with the way I think about guys like Hill is it's unlikely he does something, but if he does get the volume and the opportunity, he's going to do way more with it than what someone else would. Like, I think the payoff is pretty good if Hill hits.
So would you rather have
Hill? We had a Justice Hill game last year.
Yeah, probably. But wasn't Gus Edwards in that game as well?
So same situation, basically.
Right.
What were you going to say, Dave?
Like the reason why you're drafting, well, I was going to mention like Hubbard. Like, wouldn't you rather have Hubbard over Hill?
Yeah, for sure.
That's not even, they're in like a completely different tier of guys.
Yeah, I think Hubbard.
It might have been against Pittsburgh that we wanted. I'm looking at game logs from last year. There was one, I vaguely remember like there being, oh man, Justice Hill. This is the Justice Hill game. J.K. Dobbins is down. And 9 for 35.
I mean, it's
he
also
got the carries that game.
He was draft ADP Eskimo bros with Darwin Thompson when they both came in the league. Darwin Thompson just got cut the other day too. So, I mean, it is very likely too that Justice Hill just isn't good. But we do know one of these non-Gus Edwards backs is probably going to be a hit. So,
give me Tyson. Doesn't Tyson have like the actual athletic build too? I'm pretty sure he's like actually he's fast. He's big. And it was he was hurt.
He's not fast.
I guarantee. I know for a fact he's fast.
Ooh. 4'5".
I know that. I don't know how big he is. I know for a fact he's fast.
He's 4'5", 4'5", 3", 220 pounds.
Yeah, that's fast for his size. For sure.
I mean, I'm like he is 71st
percentile. I mean,
he is like a generic create a running back prospect. Like, there's nothing outstanding about him at all. You could say like he looks amazing on film. He did have that amazing run in the preseason where he got his hand down and like vaulted himself over the goal line when he was about to be tackled. So maybe he's really good, but there is nothing about his prospect profile that would indicate he's like sick.
Resif says, similar to Ben Gretsch's take, I'd rather have the RB3 on a good team than the RB2 on a bad team.
And the Ravens are the best running team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yep. I think you should take stabs on both. Prefer Tyson right now, but don't let that prevent you from stashing Justice or having him on speed dial.
Okay. Let's talk about the Davis, you had just an insane hot take. Alvin Kamara, 1.02. Moving him up a whole draft spot.
This was the cool kids water cooler conversation today.
Yeah.
I saw.
I mean, yeah. Eric and I did that show where we said that last week, and then Pete, Josh, and what was the other guy's name? Who you did the ship chasing with?
Yeah.
So they did a ship chasing draft made event where they drafted at the number two pick and they took Kamara over Cook and over Kelsey. And I was listening to that this morning and I was like, yep, I agree with everything that Josh is saying. Like, this is reflective of my ownership and of my beliefs. So I sent the tweet out and we're getting some good engagement farming today.
Well, what was the general argument for
Kamara? That Kamara, I will completely grant that his median projection is not going to be as good as Dalvin because Dalvin projects for such a huge amount of touchdowns. But if you're thinking about who has a better chance to be like a truly legendary running back season, Kamara, this will probably be the most touches he ever gets in his career because he is the best player on their offense. He had like a 25% market share of the targets when Michael Thomas was out last season. Latavius looks like he's done. Right. They've moved up Tony Jones to the running back too. So it'll probably also be a career high in carries, probably a career high in snaps. So it's all lining up for the Saints to use Kamara similarly to how the 2019 Panthers used McCaffrey, probably for the only time in Kamara's career. They'll probably never do this again. They'll probably draft another guy next year so they don't have to do this and they can keep him healthy because they extended him. But this will be the one season where we get the absolute best of Kamara.
I do think there's more room for upward growth for his touches than, and Cook has more downward potential. Just based on last, if you're going off last season numbers, like there's a chance the Vikings mix in Madison more than giving Cook, you know, 25 touches a game type of thing.
I mean, Cook might still get more carries, but like if I told you at the end of the year Kamara had 101 receptions, like that's a pretty realistic outcome.
Yeah. And you're, you know, when you think about, so Dalvin Cook, I feel like the things that he has to do to pay off are much harder than say, like even an Austin Eckler, who people, if you told everyone Austin Eckler is going to get goal line carries, like he would be Alvin Kamara. I mean, he would be right there next to Kamara as like the 1-2. With Cook, I feel like we're making pretty big assumptions that he is going to either catch more passes than he has or just become extremely efficient again with his touchdown, because he did his way more on the ground than we normally see from those top running backs. So I don't know. Cook spooks me a good bit.
He also feels like he has a little bit of injury risk baked in there.
All the Twitter doctors say that shoulder thing is going to bother him for the rest of his career.
Yeah, so it's not a hot take for me one way or the other. Like, it feels like they're whatever you want to do with that 102. Like, it would be a hot take if you said Derrick Henry is like the 102. And if I see another player to avoid list that includes Derrick Henry on it, I am going to lose it. I'm going to absolutely lose it.
That just means more Derrick Henry for you.
That's what I mean. They're big dog gonna eat. Soccer Dave's gonna eat. We're both gonna eat. Just wait. I mean, I can't wait to like when we look back and see, oh, that should have been obvious. Oh, Derrick Henry in the best, in one of the best offenses facing Lessman in the box. That should have been obvious, like that sort of thing. So, all right, let's move on. I don't want to pump my bags with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Too much.
This analogy is wouldn't want to do awful that. Analogy.
Yeah, David, you need to come up with a different phrase, because every time you say pump your bags, it doesn't work. Like when you were talking about Pete pumping his bags, it was like
Terrace Marshall bags.
Yeah, it was actively harder for him to draft Terrace Marshall, and there was no way.
Yeah, it's not he was aggressively
drafted. But it's not like Pete could like sell a portfolio of his best ball teams with like 14% Terrace Marshall.
I don't understand I don't want to get into this too much. I don't understand how you can't understand the concept of drafting a player, then pumping him to the place where he's no longer a value. Like you've already drafted him.
But why, who benefits from this? Who benefits from this?
It's the same thing. This is the same reason why you like buy something and then you pump your bag. So the value of that player goes up.
But you cannot sell the Terrace Marshall. You're not selling the Terrace Marshall to realize the profit. The only way you realize the profit is if he scores the points.
In future drafts.
In future drafts, you have not thought through this analogy.
No, I have. Okay. Just one more example. Evan Silva.
Okay.
He drafted a ton of Rex Burkhead and then pumped the Burkhead bags to where he was a fourth round value. At that point, he was not a value in the fourth round. And so
how did that benefit Evan? In what way did that make
because
Evan?
There's a point Burkhead where and he sucked.
Yeah, because then you no longer draft them once the value is too high of that player.
But that was before we even had these large field tournaments where you don't want us to interrogate this analogy. It doesn't hold up.
This is not good work from you, David.
Hey, God, real quick, Kitchen. I didn't get the backstory. What else did you go to Dallas for? Did you just randomly go for a game?
No. Draft. Yeah, our home league draft. So every year we go somewhere. And this year, one of our buddies lives in Dallas. So some of the guys went and played golf. Some of us went to the stockyard.
How did your team turn out? Kitchen?
Visit old Billy Bob's. It's an auction draft.
Yeah.
And we changed our format to next year, the keeper for this year. And next year is going to be a super flex league. So I would draft one quarterback. I drafted three quarterbacks, including Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, because I think that like, no one else was really targeting quarterbacks later, because they weren't really thinking about that. So I went with Stars and Scrubs auction. If you haven't listened, Establish the Run's got a great, they've got some good auction pieces. And I basically went with Zeke and Tyreek Hill and some really good wide receivers. And the bench is like all late round flyers. Stevenson.
Do you take Terrace Marshall to pump Pete's bags?
No, it was already kind of expensive. Pete had already pumped him high enough. So yeah. So like Gainwell, Stevenson, those type of guys in the later rounds.
I can't think of a better Swolecast segment than listening to Kitchen list off his.
Peter asked.
I was curious. I wanted to see how did, were you throwing a few back, Dave, or were you nice and sober for the draft?
No, we were. I was sober. I have never been inebriated during a draft.
Really?
Yeah, that's not me. Seriously, that's not me.
That's not you. I mean, this is. I mean, you're worried about your decision making skills under the influence.
Well, yeah, I'm not a big drinker anyways, but I enjoy the draft.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy alcohol. So
I guess I didn't know. I mean, I know when we've hung out in Nashville, I never saw, you know, really putting them back, but
right.
Okay.
So if I'm drinking something, it's probably got an umbrella in it. Like that's like, I'm not like a beer nerd. Like, oh, what'd you get? Oh yeah, I've had that. Oh, that's a sour lemon twisty skull face. Oh yeah, I've had that.
That's unfortunate because I feel like if you were, you would be one of the biggest untapped guys. The like the beer tracking yes. app.
Kitchen
like,
would be Kitchen the would be yeah. the badger. Yeah, he'd be making lists. He'd be like, all right, well, I gotta complete this challenge this week and like
try
like
this sending... IPA out at X and X Brewery.
Kitchen's thinking about becoming a beer drinker right now. I can tell.
That was. Pete, you just brought back like really cursed 2013 fantasy football Twitter memories.
No, it happened
because the boomers would have their untapped things linked to their Twitter accounts.
Oh, I remember. I remember.
It happened on the on one of Pete's shows last week. Pete was like, "Oh, what are you drinking there?" And some guy, like the response was some rando thing, and like Peter, and so oh yeah, I've had that. Oh yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm like, give me a break.
I'm the one that actually normally doesn't know all the random ass beers. Yeah. I'm just
Pete drinks Modelo.
That's right. Win Modelo sponsorship.
when Truly sponsorship. Truly saw that one show. And
I haven't had a Truly since, man. They're never gonna be. I have not had one since.
Truly the total, blitzed.
The total Truly it. Show. Yeah, blitzed. All right.
It is wild that a week from today we're gonna be building a lineup.
I was just thinking that
cash game lineup.
We're gonna be building a cash game lineup next week. Like I don't even know who plays who at this point.
I'm
gonna
put Marquez Callaway in right now if I can do that. Isn't he
all 3K? I know is that Elijah Moore is gonna be also similarly chalky.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a 34? I forget who, like the people Marvin that are doing Jones. Like the first look.
Oh God, why is Elijah Moore at 3K?
Is Marvin Jones the one that's 3,400?
Marvin Jones is 3,400, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Callaway. That's who it was. It was Callaway. Like you're like whenever someone Marvin's had a good chalk, he was like your top owned wide receiver. And they would screenshot what their price was for week one.
So wait,
go ahead.
Every team is just going to be Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, basically.
2 3K wide receivers, 1 6K wide receiver. Jalen Hurts plays against Atlanta. Zach Ertz, probably the stacking option with him. And then wheel defense. Yeah,
but at least we got pricing out early so we could talk about it a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Pricing always out early.
That's I meant to get that... my first look YouTube video up about a month ago, but forgot.
Yeah. RIP those views, those sweet views. I am kind of upset. I think this is the first year that we're not having two Monday night games.
Oh, yeah.
Two Monday night games week one is – the best, not for Tuttle because you go to bed at like 8 o'clock, but for everybody else, they were the best.
I do miss that. And yeah,
two games of flash drafts.
What wasn't it early last season too, where we got, was it the Tuesday night Chiefs Bills game? Was that because of the COVID flex? That
yes.
one, that
yes.
was like that was the one Ricky D won the million, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
And we had the day game on Tuesday with the Steelers and the Ravens when they played like at 3 or 4 and McSorley was out there. Someone had to go to the bathroom.
Someone had to go to the bathroom.
Was it Lamar that he had to go to the bathroom and then
it was like the most meme-worthy thing that happened the entire season.
I didn't know if it was
Lamar. It wasn't McSorley that came in, it was Huntley, and he got them like a super clutch first down.
And then tore his knee. All right. I sent you guys a screenshot of my lineup in the Swolecast chat. So if you wanted to grade it. Brian Edwards, though, is playing that Monday night. We didn't talk about Brian Edwards, but Smokey Brown being cut or requesting was he cut or did he request a trade?
He just said he didn't want to be the wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
So I cut him.
All right. Dave, so I'm looking at this lineup.
So this,
what Hardu coach is going to sign John Brown just to have like the veteran presence?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Someone's going to get signed. He's washed, but he's going to get signed somewhere.
Feels like big Cowboys energy to sign a washed veteran and try to play him.
I was going to say maybe Aaron Rodgers tells management wants John Brown.
They just cut that tight. They just cut that tight end that he'd been talking up.
Oh, did they? I missed that. What tight end?
I don't even know. It's got like 19 syllables, but he apparently was talking him up and.
Oh, really?
And they cut him.
Take a stab at it, Davis.
I don't even know. I don't even know. I just remember reading it.
Did they cut Sternberger?
No. Different guy.
I don't even see him on the.
You don't see him on the roster because he just got cut, bro.
Yeah, this.
This is not good radio.
Yeah,
as it's better than listening to Kitchens.
Kitchens team.
Pete's about to sauce him.
No, so I mean, this team here. You said this is super flex, right?
Next year will be super flex, it's a 2 keeper, so I can keep 2.
We can't. You can't be carrying 3 quarterbacks, Dave, if it's not super flex yet. You're gonna have to drop Mayfield.
Well, I will probably drop Mayfield after week 1 or week 2. I've got so much Mayfield anyways, but he was just eventually it'll be Justin Fields as my starter. So,
yeah. And I mean, we need to get a little bit more wide receiver depth. I can't go into the season with Brian Edwards as my wide receiver 5. He's more of a wide receiver 7 type.
Yeah. Edwards and Hamler.
I'm sure one of the boomers in your league would love to trade for Ramondre Stevenson. There's got to be like a Bill Belichick worshiper in there.
You don't like Stevenson?
What does Ramondre Stevenson do on this team? Like you have Zeke, Chase Edmonds, and AJ Dillon. If you're using Ramondre Stevenson, you've already lost.
Davis, how excited were you for that quote retweet dunk on Bime for that? I still don't even know if it was a dunk, but you made it.
It wasn't a dunk. Like I agree with Bime for on most things. We do shows together and stuff, but it just like, cause that quote, like that tweet had become a meme in your Discord. So like, I just knew it was going to generate engagements if I did it. And so I was like, yeah, I got to do it. I mean, the James White bags, like they feel, I'm pumping my bags kitchen. I'm pumping my James White bags here. That if it just felt good to know that I'm not even going to have to struggle through like 2 cam starts, then that Mac will be checking down to him pretty early on.
Love it.
Feels like a good time to tout JJ Taylor. Kitchen feels like a guy you'd be into.
Yeah, I put in a hope none of my dynasty bros are listening, but I put in a dynasty bid for him. So
did Racy McMath make the Titans roster, bud?
I think he's on the COVID-19 list. The Titans did cut Des Fitzpatrick after trading a 4th, 5th, and 6th for him.
That's crazy.
But I guess when you've got all the firepower that they do,
I mean, he just how bad must he be? Like he's just got to be real bad, right? Same for Cornell Powell. The Chiefs like desperately need some young, cost controlled labor at wide receiver, and they were like, "Nope, sorry, dude, we're taking Darius Fountain over you." Seems bad.
It's probably good. It's pretty good for Pringle though.
Except Pringle again, he started playing behind D Rob in the and it could mean nothing, but he started playing behind D Rob in the preseason again. I don't know if it matters, but I guess it is them only having five wide receivers is better for Pringle than them having six, especially because Pringle's a key special teamer. Are we gonna air our grievances with the Miami Dolphins yet?
I was hoping we wouldn't have to.
They
still
did,
processing.
He just got signed to the practice squad.
Yeah.
So he'll be back.
Kitchen, are you having internet issues over there?
Yeah, this is You're so muted. Brutal.
He just disconnected himself. Yeah. Good job, Kitchen.
Is he frozen right now?
I wonder if it's this budget program he bought. He's trying to cover the watermark somehow, and it's shutting his internet off.
You know,
Huddle, how many drafts have you done, bud?
I'm up to about 50. I can't do it. I'm drafted out. That's enough for me. Although I'll do one, and then Patrick Mahomes will get drafted as like the third overall pick, and then I'll just do another one because I'm like I can't forgo this, but. They're a grind, especially when you're doing it on shitty DraftKings. I'm sticking to my guns that drafting anywhere other than DK is minus EV, but man, their interface is not good.
Okay, I've got a plus EV drafters, promo code grinders. We've got to deal with them. I think there's going to be lots more people getting into them because of the overlay. Like their $11 still has a ton of overlay. So I think people will be drafting in these tournaments that do have overlay as much as possible. I think they will become a little bit softer. Even Underdog. I think Underdog is going to become softer.
It has gotten softer. It's gotten noticeable. You can get Jamar Chase in the sixth round sometimes now.
UD is just so much easier to draft.
Draft.
Which is why people do it, obviously. Like it's so easy. You don't even have to think. DraftKings, you actually have to put thought into it. Otherwise, you're going to screw everything up.
And quarterbacks randomly go really early on DraftKings. Like you'll be like, all right, I'm setting up my back door.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Setting up my back door, Zach Wilson.
And then 30 picks too early.
Yeah, and you're just like, great. Like, it's the worst.
We didn't really talk about the Patriots other than Ramondre Stevenson and J.J. Taylor. We didn't talk about RIP Cam Davis. Like, are you sad?
I mean, I'm done with him, bro. I'm done with Cam. Cam.
I know, but you were like the biggest Cam supporter, and you would get mad when people say he's not going
to
be a great quarterback.
Well, people used to be wrong to criticize him. Like, they used to very obviously be in the wrong, and now he's not a particularly good quarterback. He's a problem in the locker room. And there was no reason for the Patriots to keep him. The biggest competitive disadvantage that any team in the NFL can have right now would be to have an unvaccinated starting quarterback, because they can basically miss a game if someone looks at them the wrong way. It's just the rules of it. And Belichick was never going to go into the season with that.
Yeah, calm down, Urban. I don't know. Unfortunately, there's going to be multiple quarterbacks missing, I think, even the vaccinated ones.
Yes, so, correct.
We'll have to see how that plays. I mean, Tannehill is currently
we're going to have awful games. I already will tell you how it's going to play out. We're going to have a bunch of Kendall Hinton games, and it's going to suck.
At least we have an extra week, though. We have an extra week of the regular season.
I wonder, has anyone, Pete, you would maybe know this from doing the newsletter stuff. Has any team been like, we're keeping our quarterbacks separated during the week? Like, they're going in like different meeting rooms or meeting virtually or anything? Cause that would be the move, is to have none of your quarterbacks be close contacts during the week.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything. Just from your episode you did with that Eagles guy. And I thought that was interesting. Like, the game theory behind that, if they would charter multiple flights and stuff just to keep these guys separated.
Yeah, like, remember when the Browns went into a game with no wide receivers and they were having to play Hooper and Joku and Bryant as wide receivers? Like, but just that with quarterbacks is like nightmare fuel.
Yeah. It does. It does really feel like it's been relatively quiet as far as, you know, we haven't had any practices really get shut down. Like, what did the Titans do, Dave? Boots on the ground when Tannehill and Vrabel and all them got it.
They continued practicing. I mean, that's the thing. Most of these guys are vaccinated. So they just, it's just kind of continuing as normal. And then if you were in close contact with someone, you're going to be put on the COVID-19. Like, is CeeDee Lamb back? Like,
but he's not, and the team won't know. Like, there's no information on if he is a close contact or if he tested positive. Like, there's nothing out there, but he is not back.
That's what I was looking to see, like, if you actually had it or close contact, and they're not saying. So that stuff will come out, because, like, if you are vaccinated and you get it, then you only have to, like, not show symptoms for like 72 hours or something like that, like 3 days, right?
I'm not 100% sure, but it's like the rules are different depending on your vaccination status and everything. My true hope for this season is that we don't have to be doing this every single week when we do the show, that we don't have to be like, well, we're all playing, Kenne and Wongu this week because every other Vikings running back is a close contact. Like, it makes football way worse, but I don't know. That's my hope, though.
Yeah. All right. Closing thoughts as we wrap up this Swolecast show. Peter,
just have fun out there, guys. I mean, you know, lots going on, lots of drafting, lots of, you know, contentious debates on Twitter. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a game, and, you know, these guys, they're getting a king's ransom to play a kid's game is kind of what I always say. Pitch in, and I think it's nice to put things in perspective.
Yep, it is. Davis.
Doesn't cost anything to be nice to people. Doesn't cost anything to gas your friends up.
However, it does cost a lot to use Ethereum gas.
It costs right so now. Much to use Ethereum gas. It's very expensive.
Tuttle, did you get that MetaMask set up?
No.
Not yet. No. I'm working on it.
Don't do me, bro, is all I can say. I got nothing else.
Next week, we'll be talking about dupes. We'll be talking about all the other lineup decisions. As a reminder, we're going to be the Wednesday show, the first look. No one else is doing what we're doing. As far as the first look show, going to be just discussing the upcoming slates, the lines, the news that you may have missed as you're just kind of tuning in. It's the Don't Miss DFS show of the week that you don't want to miss. So, all right, that will do it for the show. Thanks to producer Steve. Sorry about the power outages. You did a good job. We're excited to have you around, and just future apologies for all the shenanigans that you have to deal with. So
I didn't curse for him, though. We made it through a couple shows now with no cursing, so I'm doing him a favor. And I promise that will not be the case once we get to like week 3 or 4.
Kitchen wasn't actually having issues. It was kind of a fire drill, you know, for a new producer. Yeah, just trying to make sure he's ready to go when the season starts.
Internet was bounced back fine. The whole power of the house cut out. So make sure those bills are paid. All right, people, we'll see you next week for the Swolecast here on rotogrinders.com.